Welcome to This Is Your Life with Michael Hyatt. Our goal is to help you win at work and succeed at life. My name is Stu McLaren, and I'm filling in for Michelle Cachette, who is away conquering cancer. And we're excited about her return, and she's going to be making that sooner than doctors predicted because she is one tough cookie. In the meantime, we are in studio. Michael, welcome.
Hey, Stu. Welcome to you.
Yes. Well, I'm excited to be here in studio with you again, and I'm excited to dive into today's episode. But
Me too.
We do that, how are you feeling about work, life, and everything that's going on?
Man, I'm feeling great. You know, it's like the guy said, if life was any better, there'd have to be two of me to enjoy it. So, yeah, it's good.
Awesome.
It's a good season.
Well, you have had many good seasons stacking up, and a lot of it has to do with the way that you approach goal setting, and I want to talk about that here today. Before we do, I want to pull out something that you wrote on your blog about goal setting. You said, when I speak publicly, I often ask how many people believe in the power of written goals. Every hand shoots up. Yet when I ask how many of them have written goals for this year, very few hands go up. This always surprises me, given the fact most people know intuitively, and research has proved, that those who write their goals down accomplish significantly more than those who do not write their goals down. So let me ask you, Michael, why do you think, given that so many people know the importance of written goals, yet few actually do it? I want to know your thoughts around that. I also want to know, what has written goals done for you in your life?
Yeah, I think that it's like anything else we know to be good for us that we don't take action on. You know, we know our lives would be better. We'd live longer if we took exercise seriously, or if we ate more healthy food. You know, we think our relationships would be better if we spent time with the people we love in a certain way, undistracted from the devices in our life, but we just don't act on it. And I think the same thing is true for goal setting. You know, the evidence is overwhelming. People that set goals are happier, they live longer, they make more money. I mean, every metric you want to measure, goal setting is a key component in that, and yet very few people do it. But the high achievers that listen to this program, I know do it. You know, right. A lot of them do it. And the rest of them know they should. And the thing that excites me about this episode, we're going to talk about practical ways how to do that.
Well, I am excited to talk about that. And for those of you who are listening and watching, we're going to be diving into goal setting. And we're going to be talking about your five principles to help ensure our success. So let's dive into that. Michael, what's the first principle?
Well, the first principle, let me back up. So here's what typically happens. People get excited about goals. They see the potential. It creates all this massive possibility for them. They go, oh my gosh, I could set goals and I could really have the marriage I want. I could really have a relationship with my kids like I want. I could really go somewhere in my career or start that business or write that book. And the list goes on and on. And so they write down, you know, 100 goals.
Yeah.
Now, I've done that too in terms of aspirations. One time I had all my kids read a book. We went to the beach and I had them read a book called Write It Down, Make It Happen. And then I gave them a yellow notepad like I've got here in front of me today. And I said, I want you to write down 100 things that you want to accomplish before you die.
Wow.
So we all did this. Now, by the way, it was pretty easy till we got to about 50.
Right.
Then it got really tough.
What an interesting exercise.
And so it literally took us 3 days for everybody to get to 100.
But everybody did get to 100?
Everybody got to 100.
Okay, got it.
And I still have my list. And so then what happened is, then we started sharing those. You know, I said, okay, rank them, put your top 10. And then we started sharing those. And it was fascinating discussion.
Wow.
The problem with a list like that.
Right.
And this is, I'm leading all this as a big wind up to the first principle. If you're going to be successful in goal setting, you've got to keep them few in number. Hmm. Now, for making a bucket list or, you know, a big list of aspirations, all that's great, you know, because I love just thinking through what I want to accomplish long term. But in terms of actually achieving your goals, you've got to keep them few in number. And I recommend no more than 7 to 10. More than that, and you can't stay focused.
You get stifled by the sheer magnitude of the number.
Yeah. It's just like you just feel overwhelmed. I mean, you might feel energetic at first, but it's not how you feel at first that's going to carry you through.
Interesting.
You know, and I just had this conversation last night. I went to dinner with my youngest daughter, and I didn't actually check with her if I could tell this story, but I'm going to tell it anyway. And so she was just sharing with me that she was frustrated that she had these 10 goals and she wasn't making much progress. And I asked her when they were due, and she said they were all basically due at the end of the year. And so I said, well, that's your problem. You need to really focus on three. In fact, I recommend and teach in my course, 5 Days Your Best Year Ever, that you identify a push goal. Now, this is a concept I got from Chalene Johnson. I think her book is called Push. But to find that one goal that if you could accomplish it would make everything else easier. And so I just said to her, I said, what's the one thing that if you could accomplish, it would make everything else easier? And I won't tell you what she said. But I said, well, that's what you need to focus on.
It's fascinating, though, that you mentioned something that she has done that I have completely been guilty of. I went through your 5 Days to Your Best Year Ever course, got tremendous value from it, had my goal list, the 7 to 10. The mistake that I made was one that you mentioned your daughter made, and that was I put all of my due dates for these goals December 31st, the following, you know, that year.
Yeah.
And so I had all year to accomplish that. And what happened was I didn't really get into action until like, you know, mid-October. And then I was like, oh my goodness, I only have a month, you know, a couple months,
right.
You know, and you get all overwhelmed. And so what you're saying is, you know, have a few goals and then focus on an even smaller number of them in the beginning.
And the cool thing is that the way I teach goal setting is that once you accomplish a goal, then you have the right to add another goal if you want. So it's never more than 7 to 10 at one time.
Right.
So if you want to add another goal, great. You know, this is a moving target. It's something that's a work in process. You can change this up as you go, but I would start with few in number.
It's almost like a reward system.
Yeah.
You know, you accomplish one and you get to add another one.
Well, it is for achievers. I'm not sure the whole world sees it that way, but for me, yeah.
Okay. So the first principle to help you ensure your success is to keep the number of goals few in number.
Yeah.
And you recommend 7 to 10.
7 to 10.
At any one time.
And that's because psychologists in general will tell you that you can't focus on more than about 7 to 10 things at one time.
And so that includes all goals, by the way. You can't try to hack the system by having 7 to 10 work goals, 7 to 10 relationship goals, 7 to 10 health goals.
And I've had people try to do that. Yeah. I had an employee one time that worked for me that tried to do that. No, that's not what we're talking about.
Sorry, people. You gotta stick to the 7 to 10 rule.
But it should be balanced across your life. So it should be some work-related goals, relational goals, self-care goals, you know, all that mixed in. But no more than 7 to 10.
Okay, so that's the first principle. Keep them few in number. What's the second principle?
The second one is make them smarter. And we've all heard of the SMART acronym, but my acronym's SMARTER. So I had a few items to it. So why don't we just talk through each one of those? Because I think they're really important.
Let's go for it.
Okay, and this will be just kind of, for many people, a refresher, but because I know that most people don't actually write their goals, this is something you want to practice. So something, it needs to be specific. So that's what the S stands for. Your goals have got to identify exactly what it is you want to accomplish with as much specificity as you can possibly muster. So for example, here's a bad goal. I want to write a book.
Right.
I mean, you talk to people in North America, probably 90% of them want to write a book.
And it's not even a goal. It's more than that.
That's an aspiration.
That's an aspiration,
which
right?
is fine.
Yep.
But to turn it into a goal, it's got to be more specific. So if I write a book proposal for what's going to be my next book, Living Forward, then that's specific. That's a specific book that I'm talking about, not just some general write a book.
Got it.
Does that make sense?
Yep.
Then they need to be measurable. That's the M. The old adage says you can't manage what you don't measure. And so you want a goal that's measurable so that you know when you've achieved it so that you can check it off your list.
Yep.
And so an example of a bad goal that's not measurable would be, I want to earn more money this year than last.
Or I want to be more healthy.
Yeah, I want to be more healthy.
Right.
Or I want to lose weight. You know, it's got to be more measurable than that. For example, I want to earn $5,000 more this year than last. Or I want to lose 10 pounds.
And I see this happening all the time with in the business world too, mm-hmm. where people say I want to make our customers happy. Well, what does that mean? How do you know whether you're winning or losing? You got to have what you're saying. You got to have that line where you know whether you've won or lost or how you measure up. And so it's having the goal that's measurable.
That's right. And so reduce it to a metric really helps.
So let's give a couple of examples of a measurable goal.
Well, one might be, I want to reduce my body fat to 15% of total mass.
Got it.
Happens to be one of mine this year. So it's very specific.
Yeah.
It's measurable. And the date's fast approaching. I'm going to find out if I made it or not. I'm still a ways away.
Okay, so that's the M in smarter. What's the A?
A is actionable. Every goal should start with an action verb, like quit, run, finish, eliminate, et cetera, rather than a to-be verb. So, for example, a bad example of this would be, I want to be more consistent in blogging. That's not an action verb. That's a to-be verb. I want to be more consistent in blogging.
So that's a bad example.
That's a bad example. A good example would be, I want to write 2 blog posts per week.
Got it.
Very specific. Or I want to work out 3 times a week. Or I want to go on a date night with my spouse 1 night a week.
Right.
So those are actionable. Then they need to be realistic. Now, here's where you got to be careful. When I say realistic, I'm not saying that they should be inside of your comfort zone.
Mm.
Okay? So they've got to be in your discomfort zone, but not in your delusional zone. So I identify those 3 different zones.
And we've done an episode on, you know, being outside of your, or in your discomfort
That's
zone.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yep.
So definitely go reference that.
Go reference that one. I can't remember what episode number it is, but go reference that one. So here would be a bad example of an unrealistic goal for me. I'm going to qualify this year for the PGA Tour.
Right.
Ain't happening. You know, my golf game isn't that good.
Your golf game don't have game?
Don't. A good example, though, if I said I want to lower my golf handicap by 3 strokes. That's realistic. You know, that's within the realm of possibility. It's outside my comfort zone because I don't see how I'd get there from where I sit right now, especially since I'm not playing that much.
Yeah.
But to make it realistic, and this is art, not science, but I want to go kind of to delusional and then dial it back a few clicks where it's in the discomfort zone.
Because you still want to push yourself.
Totally.
But you don't want to be, you don't want to have a goal that's going to be very easy for you to achieve because then
right.
It's not going to have the same meaning or significance.
That's right.
Yep. Okay, yep. So that's the R in smarter. What's the T?
T is time bound. Every goal needs a date associated with it. This is the difference between an aspiration and a goal. If it doesn't have a date, it's not a goal. It's just an aspiration. So put a date on it. The great thing about a deadline is that it creates urgency and it drives action. And a bad example is if I just say, I want to lose 20 pounds and leave it at that. I mean, 20 pounds in the next 10 years, 20 pounds the next year. I mean, what's the deadline? So if you say, well, no, I want to lose 20 pounds by April the 1st.
Changes the whole scope of things.
Changes everything.
Yeah.
Deadlines are really, really powerful. And we need to use them to our advantage, especially with our goal setting.
And to come back to the example that I gave, don't make all your goals have the same deadline.
Exactly right.
Because then you let yourself off the hook for the majority of the year, and then you hit the panic button right at the end of the
exactly
year.
Exactly right. Yeah, or you just blow it off and you just don't even try.
Right.
And so that's not good either. So then that leads us to the E in smarter. The E stands for exciting.
Hmm.
And your goal's got to be compelling.
Yeah.
You know, it can't be something that, you know, is so incremental or something that other people think you should do. It's got to be something that's exciting to you personally.
Right.
You know, so, you know, an example of this would be for me, you know, I want to take a very specific photography course this summer when I'm on my sabbatical. So that's exciting to me. You know, I can't wait to do that. And the goals need to be that way for you, that they got to be personally compelling. Nobody can judge that except you.
Yep.
But that's the juice that's going to carry you through when you want to quit.
So can we expect to see more of your photos on your blog?
Well, yeah, maybe.
I know if, as a listener, if you would like to see more of Michael's photos,
oh boy, here we go.
Make sure you let us know on his Facebook page at facebook.com/Michael Hyatt. We want to encourage to see more of Michael's photography.
I did that last year on my sabbatical. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I
was posting a lot of photos.
And your pictures were amazing.
Yeah.
And this is why I'm saying.
Okay.
Yeah, right. I think they'd be awesome. Okay, so we're talking about making your goals smarter. You've gone through S-M-A-R-T-E. What's the final R?
They need to be relevant to your season in life.
Ah.
Okay? So for me, I can spend, because of my season in life, an hour in the gym every day.
Yep.
I have no kids at home. I'm in a place where I can afford to do that. And it's relevant to my season in life. That's probably not relevant to your season in life or your wife's season in life.
It's a lot harder.
It's a lot harder.
Yeah, because we have two young kids.
That's right.
And the schedules most of the time revolve around the kids, you know, and taking them to school, you know, their nap times and so forth. And so it's totally different.
So you can't measure your season by somebody else's season.
And that's, I think, a very, very important lesson
it
for
is.
Everybody, because we can naturally get caught up in looking at others and what they're achieving and put pressure on ourselves when if we can just take a step back and realize, hey, listen, they're a different season of life.
Absolutely. And let yourself off the hook.
Yep.
You know, maybe the most you can do is get in a 20-minute walk.
Yep.
And you can do that 3 days a week, and you're going to trade off with your spouse. That's fine. It's something.
Yep.
You know, don't let perfection be the enemy of the good. That's exactly the opposite of the way we usually hear it. But sometimes we can be so idealistic. Don't ask me how I know this. But sometimes we can be so idealistic that we'll settle for nothing but the best, or we do nothing. And a lot of people end up doing nothing. And so they got to be relevant to your season of life. So that's just a test to ask yourself, is this going to be relevant? Or do I need to wait and do something a little bit less ambitious given where I am?
Very cool. So we are currently talking about five principles to help ensure your success with goal setting. And we've covered two of them. Keep them few in number. And number two, make them smarter. We've got three more coming up after this short break.
If you're like most members of my audience, you're committed to winning at work and succeeding in life. But the truth is, you struggle with finding enough time to do it all. And that's exactly why I wrote my new ebook, Shave 10 Hours Off Your Work Week, 4 Proven Strategies for Creating More Margin for the Things That Matter Most. You can't buy Shave 10 Hours Off Your Work Week, but you can get it for free by subscribing to my free email newsletter. My email newsletter notifies you whenever I've posted fresh content to my blog, so you don't always have to visit my blog to stay up to date. To get your free copy of the Shave 10 Hours Off Your Work Week ebook, visit michaelhyatt.com and enter your name and email address into the form on the page. If you're tired of feeling like there's never enough time to get it all done, don't miss your chance to discover how to reclaim the margin you deserve. Sign up at michaelhyatt.com.
Welcome back. Today, we are talking about goal setting and how to succeed with goal setting. And so far, Michael, we've talked about two of your principles to help ensure that you succeed with goal setting. I want to dig into those. We've talked, the first one was keep them few in number. The second was make them smarter. What's the third principle that you have for goal setting?
The third one ought to be obvious, but again, we already referenced this. Write them down. Few people do this, but there's a huge power, Stu, in just writing the goal down. I think it's almost like you're taking the first step in terms of your intention towards bringing that goal into reality.
Yeah.
There's a power in writing it down, setting your intention down. That book, Write It Down, Make It Happen, which I referenced earlier, is a great book that kind of creates the argument for this.
Hmm.
And I can't tell you how many times I've written a goal down, like that big bucket list thing that I did, where we wrote down 100 things we wanted to accomplish. And because we wrote it down, go back and look at that, and it's amazing how many of those things came to pass, even though I didn't have a specific plan or any conscious effort in trying to achieve it. Just the fact that I wrote it down launched me toward it.
It's amazing how when you write those things down, it's almost like your subconscious mind is looking for ways to make those things happen. But if you think them, you know, they come in and they're gone.
Yeah.
You know, it's a much more powerful experience writing them down.
It's like your brain says, you know, look, if you don't have enough effort to write it down, I'm not going to take this seriously.
I'm not going to bother with it.
Well, I've quoted in another context this research that was done at Dominican University by Dr. Gail Matthews, and she studied a bunch of people that a control group that didn't write their goals down and another group that did write theirs down. And she found that if you just write your goals down and don't do anything else, it increases the likelihood of you achieving that goal by 42%.
That is crazy.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
So why wouldn't you write them down?
Wow.
So write them down. Now, some people think that it's important to actually write them out longhand.
Yep.
Some people are content to just type them in the computer, and I'm one of them. But I've just come upon some research recently that leads me to believe that there's some real value in actually writing them down.
Going old school.
Going old school, yeah. And, you know, I did that in the very beginning when I started setting goals when I was in college, and it seemed to work. And I think, you know, the argument is that you're more engaged, more of your senses are engaged, and therefore you take it more seriously, you're more focused on it, you remember it, you subconsciously drift toward it by doing that.
So number three is write them down. What's number four in terms of your principles to help us ensure success with goal setting?
Number four is review them frequently. This is absolutely the number one reason why people don't achieve their goals.
I'm totally guilty of this.
Confess all, my son.
Yes. Well, I followed your advice. I had 7 to 10 goals. They were smarter, and I wrote them down. And then
life happened.
Didn't look at them again until later on in the year. Yeah. And that's a huge mistake because you don't, by not looking at them frequently, you forget the importance of the goal that you have set. And you just can get caught up in life. You lose focus and everything else is going to grab your attention and pull you aside. But I've noticed something that you and your daughter, Megan, do, which I thought was amazing to see in action. In your office, you actually have your goals printed out, framed, and right by your computer.
We do.
I thought that was amazing.
We even took it a step further this year, or at least I did. I had a screensaver created with my goals. Actually, I created it. Let me tell you how I did it. I had some help from one of my daughters. But I took each of my goals and I said, I want you to create an image that's the exact size of my computer screen, which I happen to know, which is 2560 by 1600.
AKA the geeky side of Michael Hyatt.
That's the MacBook Pro screen size. And so I said, create the image that size and put one goal in each image. Then I put those all in a folder. And then on the Mac, when you go to the screensaver, you can point to a folder and say, I want you to pull these images up and rotate them. So now my screensaver is all my goals.
Wow.
And so I'm just seeing those every day when my computer goes to sleep, when I walk into my office after I, you know, when I come in the morning, those images are just going.
You know, I recently had an experience. A mutual friend of ours, Brian Harris, created a great little free Chrome app called List Goal.
Yes, I use it.
I do too.
Yeah, it's great.
And what it does is basically every time you open up a new tab in Chrome, it shows you the goal that you had set for increasing your email list. And it shows you what the goal is for the day and how much progress you've made. It's amazing how powerful that is, just seeing that every day when you open up.
Multiple times a day.
Yeah.
But you've given me a new idea for a product.
Oh, interesting.
To put your goals actually in that and have your goals show up on it.
Yes, that's a great idea.
Thanks, Brian. Not exactly probably what you were looking for, but List Goal is a great product. So you got to review them frequently.
Yeah.
And if you find that you're stuck, I always start with this question. This is a diagnostic question. When I'm coaching somebody, I say, when was the last time you reviewed your goals? Well, actually, the first question, do you have goals? Are they smarter? Are they few in number? And are you reviewing them frequently? If they're not, that's where we got to start. I recommend, especially for the first couple months of the year or whenever you set the goals, that you review them daily. And I have mine listed out, just a simple list in Evernote. Mm-hmm. And I've got that a shortcut in my shortcut bar in Evernote. So when I click on that, I see my 10 this particular year. I have 10 goals for the year.
Yep.
They're in order. I've accomplished one of them so far. So I've got 9 still left to go. I'm about to accomplish another one. And so those are very present to me. At the very least, so that could be daily review. At the very least, and this is where I'm at right now, is reviewing them once a week in my weekly review.
So you have a whole process where you have time set aside to review your goals.
That's right.
Gotcha. And when you're reviewing them, is it just a quick glance just to remind yourself, or is it further in depth?
On the daily view, yes. I'm just reviewing them real quickly just to get reoriented. But I'm always asking the question, especially weekly, what actions can I take this week that will move me toward the accomplishment of that goal?
Gotcha.
So it informs my daily task list and my planning for the week.
Very powerful. So that is your number four principle. What is number five?
Number five is to share them selectively.
Hmm.
Okay, so here's the story on this. I used to. Once I became a blogger, I thought, wouldn't it be cool if I just shared my goals with the world?
And everybody will hold you accountable.
Yeah, I thought this would create massive leverage and I'll achieve them.
Right.
And then I heard this lecture, a TED Talk actually, by Derek Sivers.
Yep.
And he talked about the folly of sharing your goals publicly. And he said, because what happens in your brain is that your brain thinks it's already accomplished the goal. In other words, you get the same psychological satisfaction of talking about the goal as you do of having actually accomplished it.
So by sharing it, you're almost rewarding yourself.
That's right.
In a way.
So he says, keep them to yourself. Now, I actually don't believe that either. So I have a middle way, and that's share them selectively.
Yep.
So I don't share them with people that are going to poo-poo them. And all of us, unfortunately, have a few people, it seems, that are negative, that will diminish the goal or laugh at it or just in some way not support you.
Yep.
So I'm very selective in who I share the goals with. I want it to be with people that can appreciate it and believe that big for me and encourage me in it. But I want to also share it with people that will hold me accountable. So I share it very selectively. For me, not everybody can do this, but for me, Gail makes it very safe for me to share my goals.
And that's important.
It is.
To have somebody that you feel safe to be able to share those goals with.
Yeah, and it might be a best friend. It might be a mastermind or an accountability group. Could be your pastor. It could be, in some situations, somebody at work, your boss even sometimes.
Business partners.
But the thing that happens is when you share that, like in the context of my marriage, it's amazing the amount of alignment that comes to our relationship. Because when I hear her goals and she hears my goals and we see how that they dovetail together, and sometimes maybe a couple of them need to be tweaked because that one's at odds with this one. You know, so that all happens when we share selectively. And then we can encourage one another throughout the year.
Yeah. When Amy, my wife, and I did this, it was an amazing experience. Like, it really brought us together as a couple, because you see what's important in their life. And as a spouse, you immediately start thinking about ways to help support them in that. And I think that that's a really great bonding experience. I want to take it a bit further and just ask you a sub question off of that.
Okay.
How do you create a safe environment for someone else to share their goals with you?
Ah, that's good. Well, I think number one is you can't be in a place of judgment.
Right.
You know, like that may not be a goal that you would pick for yourself. I just can confess, I don't have a lot of empathy for this. But, you know, I have a friend who's trying to quit smoking.
Yep.
And my attitude towards that is just quit already. Well, as it turns out, it's more complicated than that.
Yeah.
You know, and so if this person, if he wants to take 12 months to do that, or 3 months, I don't want to sit in judgment of that. I might ask him some questions. Like I might say, do you think that's a reasonable time frame? How do you feel about that time frame? And just let him talk and help me understand. But I'm not going to sit in judgment.
Yep.
But the other thing is, I'm not going to become a nag in his life or her life, whatever the situation may be.
Yep.
And this is, I wasn't very good at this with Gail initially. And I kind of scared her off goal setting because she entrusted a goal with me and then I became a nag.
Right. And you were on her, you're on her all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, she actually didn't hire me to be a coach in that. Yeah. And it wasn't good for our relationship. And so now I don't do that. You know, we review our goals. She's a great coach to herself.
Yeah.
She doesn't need me nagging her. And for sure, she doesn't need me shaming her. So if she misses a goal, I mean, my attitude towards goals, if you've missed a deadline, if you're completely stuck, if you're off track, no shame.
Yeah.
That's all in the past. You can't do anything about that. Just embrace it for the future. Adjust the deadline if necessary. Maybe remove that goal. Get something that's more meaningful now. But you've got to be the kind of person that's going to be supportive and encouraging and, you know, encourage them, especially when they're making positive movement toward that goal.
Got it. Okay. Now, that's important.
That's a great question.
Thank you. So we're talking about the principles to help you ensure your success with goal setting. We've talked about the five principles. One, keep them few in number. Number two, make them smarter. Number three, write them down. Four, review them frequently. Five, share them selectively. So as we wrap up this episode, I want to ask you, how do we apply what we've learned today So that, and I'm wondering if you can share a few reasons why we should be doing this.
Why we should be setting goals?
Why should we set goals? Why is it so important? And why should we do this right now?
Well, I think number one is it takes less time than you think. You know, the whole premise behind my course, 5 days to your best year ever, and it's, you can't even get the course now. It's closed. But you can register, get on the waiting list at bestyearever.me.
Yep.
And I would encourage people to do that. This is an amazing course that thousands and thousands of people have gone through, and it's been life-changing for them.
And it's important to point out, prior to when you do open the course, there's tons of free content that you deliver series that people can consume absolutely free. So it's great to go there to get on the waiting list because you'll get that regardless.
You don't want to miss that, that content. But in terms of the reasons why you should goal set, and this is what I talk about in the course, is it takes less time than you think. In fact, the way I teach it, you can set up yourself up for your best year ever by just setting aside 4 to 5 hours. Mm. So you could do this literally in a morning on a Saturday, one evening, maybe two evenings, but it takes less time than you think. Number two is that it pays huge dividends for such a small investment. To me, trying to live without goals would be like trying to pilot a ship without a rudder. You know, how do you get through life? How do you know where you're going? And a lot of people I know, and you know, end up at destinations they didn't choose because they didn't have goals.
Right. They're just, as you have always taught, drifting. They just drift.
Yep. Third reason is the joy and satisfaction of accomplishing your most important priorities is at stake. Hmm. You know, if you really want to achieve a life that matters, if you want to get to the end of your life and not have any regrets, if you want to look back with fulfillment and say, wow, I accomplished some things that were really important, you need to set goals. That's where it starts. And it's easy.
You know, as a parent of young kids, one of the things that I've realized is how much our behavior shapes their behavior. Mm-hmm. And having goals and talking about goals in an open environment, you know, such as a family household, is so important for shaping the kids in terms of encouraging them to think forward and improve themselves and make progress. And I think that the more we can get into a habit and a ritual of setting goals, reviewing the goals, and making progress mm-hmm. toward those goals, not only benefits us, but it has the ripple effect of benefiting those around us as well.
It sure does. That's a good point.
Well, if you've enjoyed today's episode, you can find the full notes and transcript over at michaelhyatt.com. We've also got the video of today's episode. If you'd rather watch than listen, that too is over at michaelhyatt.com. In the meantime, I'd love to ask you to do a favor for us. Could you go over to iTunes and just rate the podcast? It takes you maybe 30 seconds. But what it does is it helps get the show in front of more people who could benefit from this information. So thank you in advance for doing that. Michael, as we wrap up today, any final thoughts on goal setting?
Yeah, I would just say if you've never set goals, give it a try. Test it. See if it doesn't work for you. I think you'll get really excited about doing it. If you have set goals and you feel like you're stuck, get back in the game. Again, no shame. Don't be discouraged. Just re-embrace what it is that you were out to achieve and go for your goals.
Well, it's been a great episode. Thank you so much for joining us. Until next time, remember your life, your one and only life, is a gift. Now go make it count.